I am going to, in this message with the Word of God, show a certain thing, a couple things that I am thankful for. I'm thankful we have the Word of God, and I'm thankful that it doesn't change. In everything that's unstable in this world, right here is our stability. Christianity, churches, our culture, the country is way different than it was 100 years ago. Churches shouldn't be. The Bible is still the same Bible. And I'm thankful for the unchanging stability that we have in the Word of God, knowing it is the Word of God, knowing that God preserved it perfectly for us. Ephesians 1:16, we have the Apostle Paul speaking here to the church of Ephesus, and it says this: "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Let's pray for a moment, and then we'll look at some scriptures tonight. Father, I pray that you would help us to, as we look at the Word of God, and just deal a little bit with this certain thing that we are to be thankful for, and that thing being each other in our church family. And God, as I look at these verses that we'll look at tonight and see how we ought to be thankful for that and see why, I pray, God, that it would be an encouragement. I pray that as we look at it, it would help us, Father, to just be more thankful for one another and more thankful for what you have done in placing us into this body of Jesus Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Apostle Paul, if you think about it, he had a unique ministry. That ministry was such a ministry that he went to Ephesus. Ephesus was the longest place that he was at. He was there for roughly 3 years, and then God moved him on. But he went to Ephesus, he went to Corinth, he went to other places. And when the Apostle Paul went, he went out and he preached. He preached in public. He went out to witness in public. And when he did that, then he took the people that believed and he gathered them together and taught them further, and that formed a church in that locale where they were located. So Paul then, he moves. He goes to another place. You all know that the Apostle Paul, in traveling from place to place, some places he was absolutely rejected. Not one convert necessarily, driven out, stoned, and all that went along with that. Other places, he was more readily accepted by a number of people. And the Bible throughout, it says, you know, hey, if he went to a place and they rejected, he shook the dust off of his feet, he went somewhere else. If there were disciples there, he stayed. When people got saved and they wanted to grow, he stayed for a period of time until God moved him. So as he writes to this church in Ephesus, he says, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." So the first thing I want to notice is the fact that, you know, as the Apostle Paul would go to a new place, one thing that was a tremendous encouragement to him is, hey, this church in Ephesus that I was able to preach the Word of God and some people got saved, they're still there. They're still meeting. They're still faithful. They're still following the Lord. God's moved me over here. This church is still faithful. They're still following the Lord. And so he writes in these letters to these different churches, and he says, you know what? I thank God for you, and I thank God for you, and I thank God for you, because people that follow the Lord are an encouragement to other people that follow the Lord. And in thinking about this, you know, I could go through and I could name people and I could talk about families and I could look at different things and I could say, I'm thankful for this person because of this, and I'm thankful for this person because of this. And really, there would be something there for everyone. Because I am thankful. I'm thankful to be in a church where people love the Lord. I'm thankful to be in a church where people want to serve the Lord. I think of bus drivers. Sometimes bus drivers are a little bit overlooked. You know, you've got bus workers, you've got bus captains, you go out and do, you know what? If the bus doesn't get driven, what happens? You can go out and do all the visiting you want. If there's nobody to drive, people don't get in. I think of Sunday school teachers. And I know Sunday school teachers, hey, they work their regular jobs, they have their regular routines, some are retired. But they've done this, and they give time to prepare their lesson so that they can go and give the Word of God to children and help them to have that Sunday school class that is focused on their little age group, their little group, to encourage those young people to grow in the Lord and come to church. I'm thankful for visitors, people that go out and do visiting. I guess those aren't visitors, they're visitors. I don't know how you would say that. But they go out and they go visiting and they say, look, I'm interested in giving the gospel to people. I'm thankful when I go out and I meet somebody and they say, oh, I know this person that goes to your church. And they have something good to say about that person. I'm thankful when I talk into somebody and they say, I got a tract from somebody from your church. Because all of those things, just like the Apostle Paul's looking at it, he says, look, I'm thankful for you guys there in Thessalonica, and I'm thankful for you guys there in Ephesus, and I'm thankful. And he goes on through these books and describes the things that he's thankful for. But it's an encouragement to know that people want to serve God. So as he says, I'm thankful for them. You know, I think, honestly, and I'm just going to mention the Batterson family and what they're going through and what they've been through. I've been to their hospital rooms, and, you know, I've been there when Brother Batterson's feeling about as bad as it gets, and you look at different things, and every time I've been there, and granted, and I told them the other day, I said, I know that you have your ups and downs. I do. I know that you have your ups and downs. But I've watched them be positive through all of this. And that's a good spiritual character trait. And it's a good example. I don't know how I'd feel if that were me laying there. That'd be tough. But I know this, when God gives us something, God also gives us grace. But to watch people take that grace and put it into action, that's a good testimony. And it's a blessing to be able to see these things. It's a blessing to be able to watch people depend on the Lord. And one thing, I was telling somebody the other day, really before I came here, I don't know if I personally knew someone that had cancer. You know, my grandmother had cancer, but she was 89 years old, I think, and they wouldn't really do anything to speak of about it. It was just part of being old. But to meet people and watch men, strong men, I think of Brother McCoy just laying there. It doesn't take much to take a man today and put him on his back. And it's humbling. Because it's only the grace of God that lets us stand on our feet. And to watch these people stay with God, walk with God through these different things, we need to use our health for the work of the Lord. We don't know how long we'll have it. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, dealing with these people. So God says, I'm thankful for you. Or Paul says, I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful for you. In doing this, there's something that he's thankful about. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So he deals here, he says, we're bound to give thanks for you. Your brethren, your beloved of God, God gave you salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. They believed Jesus Christ. They accepted Jesus Christ. He gave them the Holy Spirit who sanctified them. They get saved. He says, I am thankful for your faith. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So when he writes to the church of Colossae, he says, look, I am thankful to you. I am thankful that you are rooted and built up in him. We have our roots. They're sunk deep into the Lord Jesus Christ. We're the branches. He's the vine. But we are sunk deep into the Lord Jesus Christ, built up in him, established in the faith. And that goes along with thanksgiving. Because if you are rooted in him and you are established in the faith, you learn to be thankful no matter what happens. It's hard sometimes. There's a lot to deal with sometimes. But I remind you, can we trust God for our salvation? Our very eternal existence? The washing away of our sins? And so if we are rooted in him and established, we see the picture here. Several people have mentioned the older people of this church and watching you be established. And you think about that. We need young people to come up and be established. You don't have to be 80 years old to be established. The existence of the future of Ottumwa Baptist Temple is in the youth. Guess what? Some of these older people are going to graduate up to heaven. Probably several within the next 10 years. Unless the trumpet sounds, then we all graduate at the same time. That'd be great. But you think about this and you understand that we older people have to be, the older men, the older ladies, we have to be established in the faith, and the young people need to see that group of people established in the faith. And Paul says, I am thankful that I can look at the church of Colossae and I can see a group of people that aren't movable. Not that they aren't movable, in fact, that they aren't growing. Sometimes we look and there's even a song that talks about being immovable. And we tease a little bit about that sometimes. Yep, we're not moving. Now, we need to be moving, but we're going forward, not backward. We're grounded. We're established. We're built. The Word of God hasn't changed. We are only going to get closer to the Word of God. So he says, a rooted and built up. And then, ultimately, we look at this. He says, I'm thankful for you. And I am thankful for this group of people. I really am. Because I see a group of people that want to be rooted, that want to be built on the Word of God, that want to be established in the Lord, that want to move forward as a whole, not backwards, not toward the world and the direction of the world, but moving forward. But ultimately, why does that happen? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57. Here is the key to the whole thing. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know why somebody can get up Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, 52 Sundays a year, for decades? You think about that. 520 Sundays in a decade. And they come and you watch them and they live for the Lord Jesus Christ on Sunday, and then they go out into this filthy old world and they shine like a bright light. How does that happen? There's only one answer. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he says, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says this: Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. He says, look, I look out, I see the church of Ephesus, I see the church of Colossae, I see the church of Thessalonica, I see the church of Corinth, even with its problems. The church of Corinth was a growing church. They needed some maturing. They definitely needed some change. And he reminds them, hey, victory comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says this: thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Do you live triumphant? Do you live in victory over sin? Do you live in victory in your Christian life? Do you have what you would consider to be a triumphant Christian life? Think of triumph. You come back, you're the victor. At the end of a day, do you look and say, you put your head on your pillow at night and say, today was a triumphant day. You know where that comes from? Jesus. It comes from being rooted and established in Jesus. And if you come to the end of the day and you look at it and say, this wasn't a good day, it's not Jesus' fault. Because he did everything to give you a triumphant day. That doesn't mean that you aren't going to have any struggles during that day. It means that when the struggles come, you are going to have triumph. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be tragedy. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be distress. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be conflict. It does not mean any of that. It means that at the end of the day, through all of that, Jesus Christ is with you. He is there for you. He did not leave you. He did not forsake you. And at the end of the day, you can put your head on your pillow and say, I lay down triumphant to get up tomorrow and have another victorious day. The devil wants you depressed. The devil wants you discouraged. The devil wants you defeated in sin. The devil wants all of that. Jesus Christ wants you triumphant. What was the triumph here that took place? Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh, look at this, maketh manifest, that means it's revealed, the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. You know what? The knowledge of God, the light of God that comes through us, it's a savory thing. And he said, it's in every place. Where you go, do you bring the triumph of the Lord Jesus Christ with you? Honestly, I have to look at that and I have to stop and think. Do I? Do we? Where you go. We've got people right now in the hospital. We've got people that just went in the hospital today. Do you walk in with the triumph of Jesus Christ? So they're sick. How can they? Jesus. Only Jesus. You go to work. People face all kinds of things as Christians all throughout. And guess what? The triumph is there. It's available. And when we triumph in Jesus Christ, it sends forth out of us like a savor the knowledge of God. Caleb's not here tonight. He told me that he worked in a hog barn one day. I think it was this past week. And he said his mom told him, "You can't work in the hog barn and then go to work at Fairway." He said, I came home, I took three showers, I took a bath in baking soda, and he says, I still smelled it the next day. But you think about it. We are to produce a savor off of us. That savor is the knowledge of God and the triumph of Jesus Christ. And it ought to follow us everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. How does that happen? It only happens if you're walking with Jesus Christ everywhere you go. You get thinking. When you walk into the courthouse to pay your property taxes, are you triumphant? Do you carry with you the savor of Jesus Christ? I don't like to pay him any more than anybody else. But, you know, it's all of these things, no matter what it is, we ought to walk triumphantly at Walmart, at Fairway, at the school, at the, wherever it is, the doctor, the hospital, work, no matter where it is. God wants us living, working, walking triumphantly through it all so that the knowledge of God is revealed everywhere. Paul says, I'm thankful for you because you're rooted and established in the faith, and the only reason that works is because we've got a Savior, Jesus Christ, who gives us the victory. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for one another. I know all the time people are doing things for one another in this church. I hear about it, little bits and pieces here and there. It's a wonderful thing. Encourage one another. It's a great thing to encourage people physically. People need spiritual encouragement too. And that is a wonderful aspect of encouragement. Give it out spiritually as well. Think about these things. Let's stand to our feet. We are going to have an invitation. It could be